In the importance of relationship, we have taken the study of the Ten Commandments. And now you know why the world is trying to remove the Ten Commandments, because the world is trying to create a cultural shift, a relational shift, that what is norm based on Scripture no longer is normal. And so in that, the Holy Spirit has led me, and in the process of studying, has shown me the very reason why that I'm teaching this, is because we need to know God's plan for relationships. We need to know God's plan for our culture, the way we treat one another, the way we relate with God, and the way we relate with one another. So we found out that the first four are based upon, the principles behind it are based upon relationship with God. That God so loves you, that God through Jesus took away your shame. So there's nothing that can hinder a relationship with Father God. And that is his heart, relationship with you, to hear you. See, Scripture talks about hearing God's voice. God wants to hear your voice. He wants to relate. He wants to talk. He wants to communicate. He wants to guide, lead, protect you. And that's why the first four commandments were given to Israel. Why? Because Israel, for 430 years, were in slavery. Everything they did was told to them what they would do, what time they would get up, what time, how long they would work. At times, challenges, because they were trying to do new things, and God was working through them, and God was pressing in for deliverance. Then they had to make brick with less straw. All kinds of tribulation took place. Bottom line, emotionally, in their soul, in their mind, will, and emotions, and bodily, they were beat up. They were abused. All this because of one of the worst things a man can do to another man is slavery. And so they were in slavery for 430 years. And now they got out of there. And you can imagine in today's day what we would say the mental health of Israel. Israel, what is our culture? Who are we? What is our identity? Who is our God? Because it seemed like God wasn't there for 430 years. But of course, we understand the whole picture is they're in captivity for 430 years because of their disobedience. And they're the ones that brought themselves into the realities of what took place. But again, God always has a plan. And it just didn't seem like, you know, like the story we see in the cartoons and all that where Israel did bad, God was mad, so God called Moses up and threw to Moses these 10 laws and rules and regulations, and here, take this down, tell them they're bad. No, God had already delivered them in spite of where they were emotionally, in spite of their mental health, in spite of all the things that are going on in their life, the wrong choices, the anger, the bitterness, the unforgiveness, the hatred that built up in their hearts towards Egypt, towards the people that enslaved them. Now you say, rightfully so. Well, maybe so. But the reality is that was their culture. They had Egypt inside of them. And what God was wanting to do is to bring them out and to relate with him the way he always wanted them to relate with him and relate with one another. So we are now in the eighth commandment, but I'm asking if you would turn your Bibles to Ephesians 4. We're going to spend a lot of time in Ephesians. So again, our premise is finding the principle of relationship behind each commandment. And the eighth commandment is found in Exodus 20, verse 15. And verse 15 says, "You shall not steal." Okay, now we're getting to the nitty-gritty of everyday life. Okay, I'll say it again. Now we're getting down to the nitty-gritty of everyday life. of the things that we face every single day, the choices we have to make, those little choices that can create huge things in our lives. So you shall not steal. I think that the principle is, the principle behind the commandment, thou shalt not steal, is a principle of trusting. Trusting God and trusting one another. But there's a caveat in trusting one another, because God is perfect. We can perfectly trust God, but we're not. And so what we have to do is to create a lifestyle in our character, our cultural lifestyle, to create an atmosphere around people that people will trust you. All right? Because Israel, watch this again, just got out of slavery, and every time they turned around, they complained, and they moaned, and they groaned, because they still had the past inside them eating away at their culture. They're trying to be free. We talk about freedom, and they try to be free, and they struggle because they're not free, because on the inside, in their soul, and even their body, is just damaged and created by mankind, maybe created by Satan, probably. But the reality is this is what's going on. So let's talk about today. How many people do you know, because of experience or things that went on in their life, are damaged? Wonderful people. But they're damaged. They can only go a certain way, or how far they could go, until they fall into this insecurity level because of their experience in the past, especially in trusting. To trust God. You're my God, but I'm in slavery. I'm angry at you, God. And so we have to look at this, that Israel is no different than us. Some of you, it's awful of what you faced when you were young. But what God is saying, I want you to break out of this, and I'm going to use the word doldrum, break out of this doldrum to begin to move forward into a trust. How many people do you know, or maybe you yourself will say things, I tried this before and it didn't work for me. Let me tell you what really happened. And then you go for 5 minutes of the negativity. And it's not because you're this bad believer, Christian, whatever. It's because you're devastated on the inside. And God is wanting to recreate a kingdom-minded person, someone that is of the kingdom, even though some of the things that you face right now is tough. But God is wanting you to relate with one another and produce this character of a person, even though today, yesterday, you're going through one of the hardest times in your life. But you know, you trust God with your relationship with Him, that He will see you through and you'll have victory. But it's hard to think that way because you've been there. So it's a principle that you live with trust in your heart. So the Lord helped Israel to have breakthrough in the small areas of their life through the commandments. Because there are little things that eat away at you. And there's a lot of things that don't, because you got a hold of this. You're quoting the word, you got a hold of this. Because why? Because you love Jesus with all your heart and you desire to do the right thing. But there's those little things that get at you. And so what we're finding now in the last few commandments is that God is trying to pick away and give you a revelation of the little things. And if you grab a hold of the truth, then the true will begin to change in your life. Because you can change the true, but you can't change the truth. The truth is God's will. True, this is happening, but God says this. So that's the turnaround. That's the breakthrough for us to get to. All right, are you ready for this? So if you think about it, the reason that someone would steal, thou shalt not steal, is that you don't trust God. You don't trust God to provide for you, or you don't know God's character. You don't know that He will provide for you, because your experience, slavery to the world, to the world system, has dealt you dirty. So we need to ask ourselves, me included, a question. What was God trying to teach Israel that had been in slavery for 430 years? And here is the answer that we need to allow to be indwelt into our thinking. You don't need to steal because God will always provide for you. Yeah, but I prayed and I gave and I tithed and this happened. Here's the answer. You don't need to steal because God will always provide for you. Amen. Amen. So he's saying, I want you to learn to trust me. It's a process. It just doesn't happen overnight. Now, I know, speaking to Israel, this is God talking, I know you have fear of what Egypt will do. What they will do tomorrow. Remember what happened? They were released. And then the Pharaoh got all ticked off. He sent out his army, and they looked back and said, what do you do to us, Moses? We're all going to die. And then what they say, I mean, the craziest thing, and I think it's kind of funny because most of my family don't like onions. And they said, well, at least we go back and eat onions. Potatoes, whatever they're growing. At least we would have that, but now we're going to die. See, why did they say that? Now, would it be nerve-wracking if you look back and saw a whole army behind you? Yeah. But it wouldn't be when you knew that God delivered you and I will take you to the promised land, and God doesn't lie. And He will provide and He'll take care of you. And so we know the story that He separated the Red Sea, they crossed on dry land, then the army came in, He swallowed the army. The enemy was defeated. That's the picture of a spiritual battle in your life. Is that God has a plan and a trail for you to follow. But the reality is, do you really believe that? And a lot of people don't because of their past experience, or I will term the past slavery years without God. So I ask you to turn to Ephesians 4, and as we read it, I want you to notice some of the Ten Commandments are in Ephesians 4. So it's not just the two books in the Old Testament, but it constantly repeats. Why? Because it's not just a law, spiritual truth of God, but it is also a principle of God for you and I to live by each and every day. So Ephesians 4, verse 25 says, therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. That's next week when it talks about thou shalt not lie. Verse 26, be angry and do not sin. This is what we talked about of do not murder. In other words, people murder because of unresolved anger. Verse 26, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, or do not let anger be unresolved, because it can turn into hate and bitterness. Now, I added that, but because of what we taught you. Verse 27, nor give place to the devil. Last time we got together, we talked about adultery, giving place to the enemy. So, how adultery impacts you, body, soul, and your spirit. And when you give place to the enemy in your life, but you choose, here we learned last time, is you choose to listen to the pain of the emotion, the soul, the worry, the fear, everything that is there. And God is saying, look to me. Look to me. Trust me, but also I want you to be trustworthy. I want you to begin to walk. When you relate with me and you relate with others, I want you to be trustworthy. So verse 28 is today's message. Let him who stole, talking to believers, steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, what is good. We'll explain that in a moment. That he may have something to give him who has need. So there is a goal. You know, a lot of times we always talk about, you know, I got to get a better job, better pay, you know, for me. Well, let me tell you, you know why you have a job? That you can be full of joy. I'll show you this. Why you go to work? So you can get tired. I'll show it to you. And then why do you does God promote you and give you raises? So you can give. So notice this all morning as I'm teaching. This is the principle, because what happens when you think the way the world thinks, or the slavery aspect of being bound because of this, or someone did this, someone did this, I'm angry with this, all the different things, you are enslaved to the world system. And God is saying, I'm going to free you up from your slavery, Israel, or Valley Community Church, and I'm going to free you up to be able to relate with me, relate with one another, and I will bless you above and beyond you'd ever dream of. So why? So that you can get a new house, new car. Amen. Yes, you can, but also you become a huge giver. Out of this passage, let me show you 3 points now. I usually do 3. I remember a couple weeks ago I did 5. Here's point 1. Simply stop stealing. If you're going to develop this trust in your life, you will have to stop stealing in the little ways. See, because we have a tendency in the little things of just stealing, just small, doesn't matter, doesn't hurt anybody. Well, let's talk about the story of the provision of the manna. Remember that? All right. God provided the exact amount for every person, manna, every day. Some people say, well, that's socialism. No, it's not. It is opposite of socialism. Exodus 16:16 says, this is the thing which the Lord has commanded. Let every man gather it according, manna, according to each one's need, one omer for each person. According to the number of persons, let every man take for those who are in his tent. So some of you have 2 children, some of you have 20 children. All right, so you take an omer for each person. Now, an omer, we really are not sure, all right? People will tell you what it is, but really, we're really not sure. But an omer, because we don't know what manna was. People try to explain that, but we're not sure. But an omer is about 2 liters. About 2 liters, all right? So verse 17, then the children of Israel did so and gathered. Some more, some less. Some more, some less. Oh, see, some people got more. They stole less. No, no, no. Some more because they had more in their tent. And some less because they had less than those in their tent. Verse 18. So when they measured it by omers, he who gathered much had nothing left over, and he who gathered little had no lack. Every man had gathered according to each one's need. In other words, everyone had the perfect amount. Did you know that's the heart of God? For every one of us have the perfect amount. And you walk in obedience to his word and walk in his ways, understand, trust in him, then every one of us will have exactly what we need in life. And the Bible says that it pleases the Lord to prosper you. Prosper means more than enough. All right? So don't get into this religious, you know, well, you know, I was born here and other side of the track or whatever. God has provided and has planned for you to have more than enough, no matter what your past was. And he's trying to break the culture of the world out of them so they will believe it. And he began to show it to them through the manna. So this is what I want you to see. God gave the exact amount for each person. So if you took more than you needed, then you stole from somebody else. What does that mean? Okay, we want to go to the world's explanation of finance. It is going totally opposite of what the world is trying to explain to you in socialism. With this truth, you know we live in a world that is opposite of truth. So there is this whole thing about redistributing wealth. That's not what this was. God owns everything. It says everyone needs the same. No, they don't. We must understand what the Bible says about a free economy. And so I'm trying to help you with all that you hear on the news and you read on the blogs. There is a tremendous difference than taking more and making more. I'll say it again. There is a tremendous difference in taking more and making more. The problem today is not the people who are making more. The problem is the people who are taking more. Actually, the people who are making more are helpers or helping the economy. They are the ones creating the jobs. People won't tell you that. That's not stealing. The entrepreneurs, the marketplace, let me tell you, we must pray for the marketplace, for you business owners, that the system in our world today is wanting to destroy you. And I just want you to understand, the church needs to rise up and to honor and pray for the job creators. The entitlement and the taking is what's bad for America and is opposite of biblical truth. And biblical truth calls that stealing. Y'all getting quiet on me. Pastor getting political? No. I'm telling you what Scripture's telling us. This is already the answer. It's in the Bible. It's written thousands of years ago to give you the answer of our problems in America today. Then on the sixth day, God said to them, I'm going to provide for you for 2 days because of the Sabbath. But on the seventh day, the Sabbath, some people went out and tried to gather. We talked about this when we talked about the Sabbath or the fourth commandment. the principle of rest. But I want you to understand, looking at what God said after they went out looking. Verse 28, and the Lord said to Moses, how long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? Now, when we read that, how long do you refuse to keep my commandments? Let me show you the word keep. It's very important. It means a guard or a trustworthy keeper of something. God is saying, how long do we refuse to trust him? That I will provide for you. I will provide for you. They had to work hard, and things were stolen from them when they were in slavery. And they only ate what they were given to. But the Bible says that while they were in their city, Goshen, that God blessed them. Okay? So everywhere God places, everywhere they were, holy moment, God will provide for you. Wherever you're at in life, it's not about what man and what you can get from another man. It's God said, I will provide for you, and I'm going to do this thing, but you have to trust me. Create a culture in you. Create this culture in your mindset that I will take care of you. All right, now that sounds pretty good. But he then tells us in a little bit, how do you do that? So God is saying, how long do you refuse to do this? Because they wouldn't trust God, and they didn't trust God he'd provide enough on the sixth day for 2 days. Stealing is a bold statement from God, but he's saying that you don't trust him to provide for you. So how do we take the principle and relate it to our lives, to the Christianity, or to our walk with God? Paul in Ephesians was writing to the Christians. He said, those that steal, steal no more. Those that lie, don't lie. Resolve your anger. See, you and I live in a corrupt society. And because of that, and the emotions, Christians still steal as Israel. Now, everyone take a deep breath, because I'm going to quickly give you a list, a short list of a long list of what we can do. See, what God is doing, let me remind you, what God is doing is creating a culture in your home, in your business, in your family, in your personal life, and even in your job. Because it's God that gives you the jobs. All right? Have any of us taken a longer lunch that was allowed? You're all honest, yes. Have anyone ever asked, can you pay me in cash? That way you didn't have to pay the government. Have you ever gone to the store, bought something, walked out, looked down, and saw that the cashier gave you too much change? And you said, bless God, I was praying for a blessing and he gave it to me. Not to pay debts, according to the Old Testament, is stealing. If you borrow the money, you need to pay it back. Someone else doesn't need to pay it for you. And I want to tell you, poverty comes into many homes not because they didn't have more than enough, because a few are paying the others that stole from the family. And we have to get to the place of understanding in the original sin, in life without God, that's normal thinking. That is normalcy. That's where I say socialism comes from. The normalcy of what sin created. Expecting someone else to take care of you without doing anything for it. And so when we get to this, you say, Pastor, why are you really being intricate about this? Is because I want you to know how intricate the enemy is of deceiving us. We're wanting the blessings of God. We're wanting what God has provided for us. We're wanting that manna, the New Testament manna, his provision of prosperity. But the reality is, we have to live the same principles as Israel did to be able to get into that promised land, to that place that's still going to have problems, still going to have struggles, still going to have worries, still going to have things of fear that you're going to have to face. But when you understand that God provides for you, you walk through it with joy. So let me help you today. Let me help you break out of this doldrum that is hidden from you and all those watching online, because God is wanting to bless you. By the way, do you know who the master of stealing is? It's found in John 10:10. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. The last three commandments, three and four commandments that we talked about right there. That's what he's come to do. He's come to destroy you. He hates you. God loves you. He will not provide for you. God will provide for you. Amen. So I have come to a place in my life that I will not trade the provision of God for anything else. I told you the story of when I was younger. I mean, a lot of energy. Okay, I'm going to buy homes and sell homes, and I'm going to do this and do this, and I'm going to buy with all the money I had in my savings, everything, $400. Married, two children at home, babies. And so I buy this box of how to buy a home and turn it around and sell it and make a lot of money. Some of you have done that. Praise the Lord. God called you to do that. He called me to preach the Word of God. And when I got that box, I never opened it. Never. Because the Holy Spirit grabbed a hold of my spirit and said, you are not trusting me that I will provide for you. I called you and I'm leading you to do this and you make these decisions. So today, I'll tell you what, there are times in my life where I'm blessed and things have gone real well and I'm speaking here, speaking there, I got all this money and all of a sudden, the Lord says, you got all that money, don't you? Yeah, I provide for you greatly, don't I? Yes, amen, God, good, give it away. So I do. We heard about a family that we know, dearly loved. They're in ministry. And he's got a disease in his body. And we were talking to them, praying with them. They're in another state. And my wife, as we hung up, my wife said, we got to give him something. I said, okay, just name it. I'm not rich. Name it. She named it. We called. We zelled them the money. Just like that. Okay, I'm going to be going on a sabbatical vacation soon, the end of the month, and I've been saving. Okay, well, there it goes. But I'll tell you, it's because I trust God to provide. I trust God to provide. Every single Sunday, you'll see me putting something in. Every other week, I tithe, and if, you know, something comes in from outside stuff that I've been doing for years, you know, then I tithe in a couple different places. And so, but also, every week, I put an envelope in there, and I give seed. Morning I get here, got here a little bit late, 6:01 this morning, and I sat on my desk, started to pray, and I said, Lord, what do you want me to give today? It's usually the same amount, but okay, done. And whatever he asks me to give, I'm going to do. And I write, the people that record all the records of the church, you know, I don't do that, but they see, I write seed, explanation, seed. Why do I do that? Not so that I can tell you, look at me, I'm giving. Why do I do that? It's because I have learned, I didn't a long time ago, I have learned to trust God for provision. I've learned trust God for roof over my head. I've learned that God will bless me with a vehicle to drive around to minister to you, and will bless me with the reality of all the different things that I do, and he'll provide enough, more than enough, prosperous. And so in that reality, being obedient to the things of the Lord, I don't live in fear. I don't live in fear of the budget of the church. Here's my only fear of the budget of the church and the budget of my home. Both cases, that I don't hear God and do what he says to do. That's my only fear. And what that does is gives me a respect for the things of the Lord, a respect for you. Amen. As we begin to move, because, you know, the property sale is probably going to close this week. It's going to be a little over $2.6 million going to be placed in a bank account. And we're going to be able to use that to redo the roof, to redo, you know, all the different things that we have talked about in the last couple years, last 4 years, basically. And we're going to begin to do that. And, you know, my greatest sometimes when I go to bed, I spend an hour praying in tongues because I don't want to make a mistake. And that's why you ask Pastor Dan. I go and I talk to this person, I talk to this person, I talk to that person about finances, about savings and interest, about this, about investments, about building, about contractors, about all this. And I'm doing all the work, I'm doing all the labor of it with great joy. But see, I want to trust God and do the right thing. And that's what I'm asking you. That's what God is asking Israel, and he's asking us, is to trust him and to build that character that people can trust you. All right, the first point, stop stealing. Second point, scripture, start working. Are you with me? Let him who stole steal no longer. Point one. But rather let him labor, start working with his hands what is good. Some people might say, Pastor, I have a job. I say, great, then start working. There are some people, maybe a lot of people today, that have jobs, but they don't work. There are people that work hard and those that hardly work. Let me tell you what Scripture tells us and what is bringing this out, the culture. Work hard. Can you imagine the first thought of Israel? I don't have to make bricks anymore. Forget that stuff. I don't have to work. What'd they do? Complain all the way because they had to work. Every time God said, all right, move, get up the tent, start walking, okay, stop, boom. They had to work. So we get to a place where we think, you know, labor, well, I got to get a job that I can relax. The word labor means to grow weary, tired, and exhausted. The word work means to earn something by working. I remember when my son Ryan graduated from high school, and what it was with us is work a full year before you go to college and learn the principle of work, and then make some money, and when you go to school, find a part-time job, and then from there, your mom and I will help with your school. People say, well, you can get a loan. You're a pastor. You know, they'll look at your salary. Oh, they give them tons of money. But you got to pay the money back with interest. So what God did, watch what he does. As I said, no, you're going to work and learn about the labor. Learn about work, how to sweat. And so they both did that, and they graduated debt-free. But Ryan would come home exhausted, and he worked for his uncle. You would think his uncle, with how wonderful Rick is, that he would have just said, yeah, go ahead, sit there, grab a Coke. You know, be fine, I'll do this, because yeah, I can do it quicker. No. So Rick and I had a conversation before Ryan started working for Rick. I said, hey, Rick, what you going to have Ryan do? Well, he's going to do construction to help me to, you know, prepare things for me. I said, good. I said, is it hard work? He said, yeah, it could be hard. I said, good, make it harder. Amen. Because I wanted him to understand the principle of work. Why? Hang on, because I'm going to show you. Scripture will tell us why. The reason why you get exhausted after work, let me give you a secret. Because it's called work, not play. If you work, you will get exhausted, and if you play, you will jump from job to job. Because God blesses hard work. The eighth commandment is the balance to the fourth commandment, rest. The principle of rest. God's plan is that you work and receive joy from your work. There has never been a time in my walk with God that I've struggled with my jobs. I didn't say there wasn't problems in the job. But I didn't struggle with my job because I knew that it was hard work. And if I understood work properly, it would bring joy to me. It is a joy for me to work at 66 years of age. I can retire, but I ain't going to because I love what I do. And I'm called to do it. And the day the Lord says, move on, let the younger generation handle it, great. Until then, I'm going to train the younger generation how to work. Amen. Amen. And so the reality of all this, watch this, we're almost done. Did you know that God told Adam and Eve to work before the fall? So work isn't the result of sin or the fall. It's before they sinned. Genesis 2:15. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work his behind off and keep it. Oh, I'm sorry, tend and keep it. To work, and it's a joy to work. Ecclesiastes 2:10 says, whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor. And this was my reward from all my labor. What is the reward? That he worked. That he worked. And we are living in a society where the enemy is trying to enslave us to steal. So if you want to trust God for his provision, stop stealing, start working, and number three, I've already told you this, get a heart of a giver. Watch what it says, verse 28. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good. In other words, what is good. In other words, walk with joy, have fun, work hard, do more than you're asked of. Be the best worker you can be. Stop complaining. Stop moaning and groaning. Stop saying, I got my rights. You know what my rights are? Is what Jesus Christ said is mine. And I will believe him and not the supervisor who just had a fight with his wife. Am I getting a little bit like snipping at people? No, I'm not. I love you. I relate with you. And notice the eighth commandment is about relationship with one another. Can you imagine if all of us walk in the door here? Now, don't take me to an extreme where you just take what I'm not saying. There are struggles in our life. We're here to counsel, to love, to encourage, to all that. But can you imagine if we're not talking about not having problems, we're talking about in the midst of the problem having the right revelation and understanding so that when we walk in, what are we doing? How's your week? Oh, it's great at work. And then you think like, I'm really lying because it wasn't that great. But you know why it was great? Because in your heart, your soul, there's joy because you're working. And you know that God will take what you do to bless others. It's for good. Amen? That sound like God to you? Amen. All right. Then it says that he may, notice he may, have something to give him who has need. I underlined he may because we get to give, Pastor Dan. We don't have to give. We get to give. God is not going to make you give. We get to give. And we don't give to get. When I'm planting seed, I'm not planting seed so that I could be blessed of God. Now, there's a principle in Scripture about giving and giving back to you, but I don't do it for that. I give seed because I'm planting seed in the church for that money to grow in the church. Again, don't get me wrong. You know, I'm not giving thousands of dollars of seed, but it's getting there after the years. After decades of doing that, it is. Well, I guess I said something wrong. It is thousands through the years. But it's because I'm led by a God who I know provides for me. And when I'm giving so that others can be blessed, planting seed. And when we walk this way and we talk this way, it brings joy in the body of Christ. So we get to participate in God's economy if we don't steal and are hard workers so we can give to those that are in need. That's what I love about you. We proclaim a need, missions, whatever it may be. We proclaim that to you and you just give above and beyond. I never say it, but I've said it one time here, but I really don't say it much, but I have in my heart a number that I would love to give. And 95% of 18 years, you've given far above and beyond what I expected to be given. Because you're givers. You're walking in the same walk that I'm walking in. You're walking in the same joy. So I'm just saying to you, if you're struggling with work, just realize that the enemy's wanting you to struggle. He's wanting you to have bad thoughts. He's wanting you to quit. He's wanting you to do all these things. And I'm telling you, right where you're at, God has you. He can take you through it. And let me say this too. And sometimes he'll say, have a good heart about this. Walk in righteousness. But next month, he'll give you a better job. But you don't get a better job because of a problem. You get a better job because God promotes you. Because you trust that he's a provider. Amen. Amen. So you can see that what God is doing, he's looking at Israel. He's looking at you and me. And he's saying, I know what you have faced. I know the struggle, the deception, everything that's gone on regarding your finances, regarding your personal walk, all of your joy. But here, let me tell you, this is how you break through. So church family, let's break through. Let's break through. Well, I remember Adam and Eve also. He told Adam and Eve, you can have every tree except that one. You know what he says? Trust me. I am asking you, the church, trust God in everything. Cain and Abel, God says, bring first fruits. Cain had to see what he had before he gave because he didn't trust God. How about Jericho? Give me, God says, the first city. Some stole. God is saying again, if you trust me, I will provide. It's so much better living in the provision of the Lord and trusting him. And I'll close with these quick stories. Stories in the Bible. Trust me, even though there is a lion's den. Trust me, even though there is a fiery furnace. Trust me, even though the Egyptian army is behind you and the Red Sea is in front of you. Stretch out your hand. Get out of the boat. Rise and walk. It's all through Scripture. So let's be a people of trust and allow God to do amazing things. Let's all stand. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. I just sensed all morning long there's some of you that are just really struggling. You really are. And right now, you're just seeing the negative side of everything. And it's eating you alive. From relationships to your finances to your job or lack of job, and you're struggling. Let me pray for you. In Jesus' name, I proclaim that the blessings of the Lord would just absolutely overwhelm each and every person here. Father, that the power of the Holy Spirit would just move and let us see your character, your ways, instead of looking for what you will do, but look at who you are, so we can become that and walk in that joy, the joy of the Lord. Oh, we love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. If you're here today watching online and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and then start your journey of growing like us. You'll be born again. You'll be saved. You can walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, indwell our businesses, our jobs. Holy Spirit, indwell our homes. Indwell our church. Allow our bodies to rise up and healing arise because we trust in you and we steal no more. And we rise up in the joy of the Lord that is our strength. And we give you praise and all the glory for that. And everyone said, Amen. I love you. You're amazing. Go out there and win the world. Amen.